Take your Bible tonight, if you would, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at two verses tonight, and not the verses you think. So we're going to go towards the latter part of the chapter, Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. Luke 2, 39 and 40. And let's go ahead and stand one more time for the reading of the Bible and let the ushers get folks in and situated. Luke chapter 2, and I want you to follow with me as we read verses 39 and 40. Last Sunday evening, we saw what we called the fourth witness, and that was Anna, as she gave witness to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we just want to see a little parenthetical passage that comes right after the account of Anna. And as I was thinking of this message tonight, I thought of our children that are in church tonight. I thought about our teenagers and parents. And there's just something said here that I think every one of us can really glean from. And so Luke 2, 39, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now I realize that we have a busy week and we're not going to be long tonight, but there's a truth here that I want all of us to get, and it's the truth about growth and about all of us growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And so let's pray and let's ask God to help us, shall we? Father, we thank you that we serve a Savior who modeled for us the Christian life and a word that tells us how we should follow in his steps. So bless this time tonight, we pray, Lord, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there's nothing more exciting than a birth. I've noticed that many things just kind of stop as far as schedule goes. When you hit into those final days before a baby's going to come, it's taken me a while. We've had now 10 grandchildren, so I've learned about 2 weeks around that occasion, just cancel life. Don't try to go anywhere. Don't try to do anything. It doesn't matter what it might be. The president might want you to come by for coffee. Just forget it. If there's something going on, cancel it, because when a baby's about to come, everything needs to stop. And that's really the priority. And that's, of course, the way that it should be. Nothing more exciting about a newborn baby. And it's awesome when life begins, but it's very, very concerning when life's slowing, or when growth is slowing, or when there's something happening even to a preborn baby in the mother's womb, or for a baby right after the baby is born. It's very concerning. And sometimes you'll hear that. Now, you'll hear a pregnant mom say, Pastor, would you pray for us? And the doctor says the baby's not growing like it should. Or sometimes you'll hear that about a child after it's been born. And there's normally an underlying problem, and it causes great concern. And I would submit to you tonight that a Christian that grows cold and a Christian that stops growing spiritually, that is a great concern. Because it was awesome when they got saved. They loved God. They loved church. They want to know more about the Bible. But when a Christian suddenly comes to a place where that appetite is gone and that growth has slowed, that's a sad thing. It's a very sad thing to see a Christian who's not growing like they should. And that's why I love verse 40, a very simple phrase. It just simply says, as we begin, "And the child grew." Let's say that together. And now, the design of the Gospels was to give an account of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, we preached every Sunday about Jesus Christ as we preached through Luke's Gospel, every single Sunday morning for 2 years. And what we saw predominantly was the ministry that was given there by Luke the physician. And that was the intention of the Gospels, was to give the public ministry, not so much the private life of Joseph and Mary or of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, we read very little about Jesus' first few years. There's not like chapters and chapters about Jesus as a child, as an adolescent, as a teenager, and so forth. But what we do see written in the Word of God, it really corresponds entirely with what we would expect to read about our Savior. We read in the Bible that he was wise and he was pure. that he was pleasing God, that he was deeply skilled in the knowledge of the Bible. In fact, he was answering questions in the temple. And so the few things that we read about our Lord are absolutely amazing and challenging to us. He sets a lovely example for all the children in our church tonight, just as he sets an example for all of us who are adults. And we read in the Word of God that the Lord Jesus was increasing, continually moving forward and advancing as a testimony and as an example for us. Now, as we begin, when we think about a little child, we think about a child being tender, and we think about a child even being a little bit flexible. How many of you have ever noticed sometimes a little child will have a joint pop out, and you just kind of pop it right back in. You know, the same thing that might cause us to have a surgery or pins put in or something, and little babies are kind of flexible, whether it's at the time of their birth or even through those first few years. Very tender, very flexible. And that reminds me of one of my favorite verses about our Lord. And I want you to look at that. It might be in your notes this morning. Isaiah 53, just by way of introduction. Notice this passage it says this evening, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. We're going to come back to that. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, we all know that Isaiah 53 is a messianic passage. It's speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the lamb taken to the slaughter. Many descriptives. He's called the lamb. He's called the root. But I want you to see a descriptive of Jesus there in verse 2. It says, he was a tender plant. He was a tender plant. And I want to say tonight that our Savior gives to us an example in verse 40. He is a child growing. He is growing as a tender plant. Can I say, teenagers tonight, sitting next to your parents, it doesn't matter if you're 16 or 17 years old, and you might be sitting there tonight trying to grow your hair out just a little bit or crop it just a little way or dress just a certain way and kind of show your individuality and so forth. Can I tell you that more important than that hard look is that you keep a tender heart? Can I tell you what's much more impressive, whether it's to those in law enforcement or military or ministry or across the board, much more impressive than an attitude is a young person that can shake your hand and smile, and a young person that has a tenderness about them, that someone that cares to help an elderly person, someone that cares to be a blessing to their parent, someone that has the ability to have a servant's heart. And when we read about Jesus Christ, we read that he was a tender plant. He was a young child in Nazareth. And as a young child, he gives a great example for us to grow in grace. And so we see tonight the Lord Jesus, just this little glimpse. And in these few moments, let us see what the Bible says. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So here is our Savior, the tender plant. Here is our Savior, the Son of God, deity wrapped in humanity. And I want you to notice three things about how he grew. First of all, I want you to see the Bible tells us he grew in spirit. He grew in spirit. The Bible says here that he grew in spirit. The Bible tells us that he grew in stature, if you will. We think of the stature of Christ as he developed, as he grew like any other child. But we see that he not only grew, verse 40, in his stature, but then it says he waxed strong in his spirit. So we see reference to his physical stature, he grew, but we also see that he grew in his spirit. Within him was obviously, and upon him was the Holy Spirit, but this verse here speaks of the spirit or the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Luke 2:49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? This is when Jesus Christ was in the temple teaching. And so we know that he had a will to obey his Father. We know that he had a spirit of obedience to the Father. And I think of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. The Bible says of him in Luke 1 and verse 80, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit." I was preaching in chapel the other day, and I was telling the boys and girls in chapel that God does great things in desert places. And I was preaching about John the Baptist and how he ate locusts and honey and how he was out in the Judean desert. And we talked about things that exist in deserts like tumbleweeds and Mojave green rattlesnakes. And of course, I had to define to the children what a Mojave green can do to someone's body. It was a great chapel service. You really miss something. And I was teaching them that God does special things in the desert because the desert is a rough place. It's a place where if you can survive and if you spend time alone with God like John the Baptist, you can develop a resilient spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Lord grew in his spirit, stronger and stronger in his spirit. And I want you to think tonight about this, about your spirit. And about your heart and attitude. For the Lord grew, I believe, in an obedient spirit to his Father. He grew in spirit, in attitude. He was noted as having a right and a strong spirit. And I believe a right spirit is something that all of us can have during this Christmas season. I don't know why it is. A lot of times during the holidays, people get melancholy, and sometimes the spirit isn't really what you would expect that it should be. But Jesus grew in his spirit. And I'm thankful. We had our planner meetings today with our church staff. And if you could have heard the pastoral staff as they were delivering the plans for 2018. And one of the things that Larry said, Brother Chappell said, was just there's a fantastic spirit in our youth group right now. And I've seen that in our senior class. And he said, it's not only the senior class. He said, we have strong leaders in our junior class, in our sophomore class, and we've seen some good things this year. How many of you parents and how many of you teachers know that when someone says there's a good spirit with the teenagers, that's a blessing to hear that? And what a blessing it was to hear that this morning. But we see that Jesus grew in his spirit. Teenagers and single adults, keep a right spirit. Keep a right spirit towards the Lord. The Spirit of Christ was honoring to the Father. It was noted in the Scripture. And I just want to say that a good spirit is something that every one of the children here tonight ought to have in their home. And sometimes the Christmas gifts that you can give a greater Christmas gift than just something material. You can give a right spirit into your home. You can have a spirit. You can mend a quarrel. You can dismiss a difficulty by saying, I'm sorry and I love you. You can turn away wrath with a soft answer. You can apologize when you're wrong. You can be kind to someone with whom you work. I mean, the illustrations of spirit go on and on, but I believe Jesus had an exceptional spirit. And I believe that it was something that those around him sensed. And so the Bible tells us that he grew, that's his physical stature, but he waxed strong, like John the Baptist, he waxed strong in his spirit. And I don't believe it's sacrilegious to say Jesus would have been the kind of young man you wanted on your team because his spirit was so great. How many of you remember Tim Tebow who tried to make it in professional football? And I don't know a lot about passing. Some coach would have to tell me. I guess he didn't really pass just exactly right and never seemed to make it. But you know what? Why we all pulled for Tim Tebow? Because of his spirit. He was a man who was not ashamed of Jesus. He was a man who never said quit. He was a man that just kept trying and trying. And everybody respected him because of his spirit. And I'm just saying that this is something that we should have as husbands and wives and as teenagers, the right spirit. Jesus, the Bible says, grew in his spirit. Notice the second thing it says, he waxed strong in his spirit. This is interesting. He was filled with wisdom. Now, we know that he was 100% God. We believe in the impeccability of Jesus Christ. That means that though he was tempted, he could not sin. He could not sin. He is God. We understand that. But he was filled with wisdom. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 and verse 2 that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father. And so God says, I want to give you the full riches of understanding. And that's exactly what Jesus had. He had wisdom, the use of knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to have wisdom. I've met a lot of people that have knowledge of a subject. They could build an airplane. They could build a rocket. Wisdom is knowing when to shoot the rocket. right? Knowledge is knowing how to build it. Wisdom is knowing how to use it, right? Jesus was full of wisdom. And Luke 2:52 says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." So Jesus had wisdom, obviously, with and toward his Father. There was wisdom because they were a part of the Godhead. And the Lord, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:20, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." I mean, God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus had wisdom, the Bible says, toward men. He was filled with wisdom. And the Bible teaches us that we should, like Jesus, walk in wisdom towards those that are without. And again, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. I remember probably 10 years ago on a Christmas Eve, Danielle and Christine, the new Walmart had just been opened. They said, "Dad, we need to do a last-minute Christmas shopping." So they ran over to Walmart, and it seemed like maybe 30 minutes later they came rushing back in the house. They said, "Dad, we've got some good news and some bad news, and we need to tell you probably the bad news first." I said, "Well, what happened, girls?" They said, "Well, the bad news is somebody rear-ended us in the parking lot at Walmart and dented our car. But the good news is we gave them our driver's license number." I said, "Okay. They hit you and you gave them your driver's license number. Did you get their driver's license number? Did you get their insurance?" "No. We just gave them our driver's license and insurance." I said to my two blonde daughters, "Girls, when somebody hits you, you're supposed to get their insurance." And so we jumped back in the car and we ran over to the parking lot and we found the people still there. We asked them for their insurance, and you might guess they had no insurance. It wouldn't have mattered if the girls asked for it or not. But knowledge is knowing how to drive a car. Wisdom is knowing when to ask for someone else's insurance, right? And so we all have a basic amount of knowledge, but Jesus knew how to use the knowledge. He knew when to speak and when not to speak. How many of you would say that for the scriptures to tell us, and we know this is our Lord, but that as a child, he had wisdom. That's not said of many children. And Jesus Christ grew in wisdom. So the Bible says he grew in spirit. His spirit was notable. His spirit was an example. The Bible says he grew in wisdom. He didn't just learn some stuff at school like lots of kids do. He learned how to use that information in life. That's why at Lancaster Baptist School, the Bible is intertwined with every course, because we want our students to grow up and realize that God's Word is relevant to every facet of life. That's what wisdom is all about. Notice thirdly tonight, let's notice the final thought here. He grew in spirit, he grew in wisdom, and then he grew in grace. Now, look at that in verse 40. "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Let's say that together. "And the grace was upon him." Now, God commands us to be filled with grace. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So all of us are commanded to grow in grace. All of us are commanded to have this grace. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ had the grace of God upon him. Now look over at verse 52 for a minute. Notice again what it says. It says, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and," notice this, "in favor with God and man." So let's look at those two phrases in the light of grace. Favor with God and man. All right? Favor with God and man. Would you say that phrase with me, please? Favor with God and man. All right? Now, how many of you would agree tonight that if you have the favor of God, that's the grace of God, right? It's by grace that we are saved. That's the favor of God. Jesus grew in the favor of God. And so what I want you to know tonight about grace is that growing in grace is not subjective. It is not merely based upon the experience or emotional happenings of life. It is objectively related to this word, growth. It is related to the word knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the more that we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that we are objectively related to Him, to the pursuit of His knowledge, then the more we are going to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you cannot resist Jesus and grow in the grace of God. He is the source of the grace of God, right? And so here we find that we can have favor with God through our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So when it says grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is not just any knowledge that the Bible speaks about. It's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we are rooted and grounded in Christ, we can then grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was referring to in Philippians 3:10 when he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. This was the passion of the Apostle Paul, that I may know Him. And the more you know Him through His Word, and the more you know Him through this time of worship and study, the more you will grow in His grace, in His likeness, in His character. For the Bible says, as we study at Christmas time, John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, what does it say? Full of grace and truth. So the more you focus on Him, the more His grace is going to reflect back into your life. How many of you would say, well, it's my desire to be a Christ-like Christian? And I just submit to you that a Christ-like Christian is a gracious Christian, because Jesus was full of grace and truth. So He had favor with God, and we have favor with God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Christ Jesus. And so Jesus Christ gives us favor with God, and through Him we grow in the grace of God. So we see here this interesting phrase, the grace of God was upon Him, and in verse 52, and He was in favor with God, and then secondly, He was in favor with man, all right? Now, how many of you have noticed that it's not always that we're in favor with man? I think this is another amazing thing that can be said about our Lord Jesus Christ, that He was in favor with man, that He had this testimony, this gracious testimony. It is a testimony to the fact that He was likable. It was a testimony to the fact that He was gentle and peaceable. Now let me ask you this question. It's one thing to have the favor of God. That's unmerited. That's through Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. Do you have favor with men? Do you have favor with man? What a testimony that our Lord had. I love the little story of the lady who waited till the last minute to send out her Christmas cards, like some ladies in this room maybe tonight. And she rushed into a store. She bought a package of 50 Christmas cards without really looking at them. Still being in a hurry, she filled out 49 of those cards. She got them all filled out, and she didn't really take time to read the whole card. They were pretty enough. She signed them. She took them and got them in the mail on time. And finally, at Christmas Day, she sat down, and she had some time to have a cup of coffee and just was going through some different things. And she saw on the table there next to the couch that 50th card. And so she took that card, and she looked at it, and she began to read the card and take a closer look. And the card said, "This card is just to say a little gift is on the way." And suddenly she realized that 49 of her friends were expecting a gift that would never come, right? Now, how many of you know that's not the way to get in favor with man, right? But Jesus was in favor with man. What a great and wonderful testimony. Can I just encourage you? In this day of such rancor, I mean, I have never seen in our country where you can't just disagree agreeably. Everyone has to be the hated opposition, you know. Everybody does opposition research, and all of the news commentators are yelling and screaming, and all of this. And I recognize that as Christians, there are times that we must contend for the faith. And I recognize that we need to the Bible says, having done all, to stand. And I believe in that, and we want to practice that. But can I just say tonight that our Savior, who had the grace of God upon Him, was found in favor with man. He was able to dispute in the temple and at the end of it still have favor with man. And I believe that's something that we ought to pray for in our own witness. I believe that's a good thing for a neighbor to have favor. You know, you may have lots of unsafe neighbors, and you probably do. It's okay if you're known as the helpful guy in your neighborhood. It's okay, teenager, if you're known as a peacemaker in the youth group. It's okay if you're known as the guy at work who helps solve problems and that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Because Jesus had favor with God and he had favor with man. What a wonderful example. He grew in a balanced way without neglecting any part of life, and his priority always was to do the will of God. And so think about Jesus for a moment. Think on the descriptive of the Bible, which says that he was the Son of God, but also it says he was the Son of Man. He was born to an unwed mother in a stable. He was placed in a manger, surrounded by poor parents. He was threatened as a baby. His father died when he was young. He had no place to lay his head. And ultimately, he was betrayed and he was crucified on the cross of Calvary. All of the hardship that he had, humanly speaking, yet he was found in favor with God and he was found in favor with men. And this weekend, hundreds of millions of people will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say to you, this is fundamentally because the Word became flesh, because he is God. But I also submit to you, it is because of who he is. He is wonderful. He is gracious. He had favor with his Father. He had favor with humanity. He is the perfect Son of God in every single way. And as we worship him tonight and as we come together Sunday, you know what we ought to say? Lord, let that rub off on me. Because I want to be in favor with you, of course, by your grace. But I want to be in favor with others. You know, sometimes when something good happens in our lives and in our ministry, it might be a special day at church, or it might be people saved, or it might be any one of a number of things. Someone might say to me, man, that was fantastic, that great day at church, or wonderful what God did at the missions conference, something like that. I will often say this, it's the favor of God, God's favor upon us. How many of you are thankful for God's favor on your life? Terry and I were at a store yesterday. It's a wonderful store. I think it's probably a Christian store, I'm not sure. Bass Pro Shops is the name of the store. And let me just say, if you are a parent of a small child and haven't been to Bass Pro Shop, if you can get there by Christmas time, it's just kind of a fun place to go save money. I'm telling you, it's just a fun place. And they have all kinds of decorations and all kinds of deer and elk and live trout. Just kind of a fun place to wander around a little bit. And more candy than you can possibly shake a stick at, all the old-fashioned country candy. But there was a place where they were selling these country signs, you know, made out of like reclaimed wood and tin from barns and stuff. And there was just this one sign, and it just said, "What a blessed life. What a blessed life." And I want you to know that those of us who live in America, who know Jesus, who are seated in this auditorium tonight, we have been favored by God. And we ought to go from this place this week and we ought to show that favor to a lost and dying world. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what he shows us. And so the child grew. Listen, Christian friend, don't stop growing. Don't become a cranky, ornery, fossilized Christian, right? Don't stop growing. Keep growing. The child grew. He grew, and the Bible says he waxed strong in his spirit. He would have been the teenager everybody wanted on their team. Strong in his spirit. And he was filled with wisdom. He not only knew things, but he knew how to use the knowledge of those things. And then the Bible says the grace of God was upon him. May that be said of you this Christmas. May that be said of me. May the grace of God be evident in our lives.